Washington. W240 DJ, Washington. 95.9. WPRS HD2, Waldorf. WKYS HD, Washington. WMMJ HD2, Bethesda. And worldwide at WOLDCNews.com.
Well, Jason, I've got to tell you, you're pretty much everything this company is looking for in an entry-level candidate.
Great.
Your resume isn't quite what we're used to, but you've got a fantastic work ethic.
Thank you.
And I'm impressed by how you carry yourself.
So, should we talk about the job?
What? The job? Oh, sorry. Yeah, I have no way of recruiting or even meeting you. This interview didn't happen.
It may sound ridiculous, and that's because it kind of is. There's a huge pool of talent your company is missing out on. Meet the grads of life. Who are they? Talent worth knowing about. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Man, we really could have used him.
Don't miss out on a resource many innovative companies have already discovered. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
Keyboard Cat, Hamilton the Pug, and Toast Meets World. These are some of the internet's most beloved pets. With millions of YouTube views, shares, Instagram likes, followers, and fans across the globe. But what do all these amazing pets have in common? Their stories started in a shelter. Start your story. Adopt a dog or cat today. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a shelter or adoptable pets near you. Training that pet to play the keyboard? Well, that's entirely up to you. Visit theshelterpetproject.org and hear more about Hamilton the Pug, Toast, and Keyboard Cat's amazing adoption stories. Start a story. Adopt a shelter or rescue pet today. Your perfect pet is just a click away at theshelterpetproject.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Why is Connor having trouble focusing in school?
Having trouble finding Connor's middle school? Would you like directions?
No. Why is Connor having trouble focusing in school?
Finding lowest airfare to Istanbul.
No, I'm tired of fighting with him over homework.
Home, walk, restaurant. Need a review?
No, I need help. He's very smart, but his mind wanders. He's disorganized.
I think I understand.
Oh, good.
Finding best potatoes for French fries.
No!
Russet. Fingerling, Yukon Gold.
Why don't you understand me?
Sorry, I was trying to show how Connor feels every day. Frustrating, isn't it? Redirecting to understood.org.
For the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues, this is what life can feel like. Explore understood.org, a free online resource about learning and attention issues, designed to help your child thrive in school and in life. Understood.org, because understanding is everything.
Brought to you by understood.org and the Ad Council.
Being bullied online? Send the witness emoji. It looks like an eye in a speech bubble, and it's in the symbol section near the clocks in your phone. You'll let the world know it isn't cool, and you'll let your friend know you care. Learn more about the witness emoji at eyewitnessbullying.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The radio home of Tom Joyner. Al Sharpton.
Carl Nelson.
And Bev Smith. News Talk 1450 AM, WOL.
And 95.9 FM.
The views and opinions of the following show do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of News Talk 1450 WOL, Radio 1 Incorporated, or their management.
You're listening to the most powerful voice in talk radio, 1450 WOL, where information is power.
Good morning and welcome to Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. Now for today's show, here's attorney Ethel Mitchell.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome back. Welcome to Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. I'm your host, Attorney Ethel Mitchell, and I want to welcome you. If you were listening already, I want to welcome you back to Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. We start at 8:30 in the morning, and we've been having a conversation about wills, trust, and estate planning, and then I did a section on the law of slavery. My guest today is Eric Gates. No? Okay. We're having a few technical difficulties right now, but give us a moment. Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell is brought to you each Saturday morning from 8:30 to 10 over WOL, 1450 AM and 95.9 FM HD2. My guest is Mr. Eric Gates. He's the president and CEO of the Fitness Factory, and he's going to give us some tips about how to start a business and how to fund your startup. Mr. Gates is my personal trainer, and he is awesome. I must say he is awesome. Welcome to the program, Eric.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome. Welcome to Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. Thank you very much for being my guest, and I want to just tell all of my listeners that Mr. Gates has the Fitness Factory, it's called, a really nice gym at the corner of Missouri and Georgia. Is that right, Georgia Avenue?
Yes, it's at 5926 Georgia Avenue.
Okay, and if you want to get in shape, if you want to lose some weight, he's got all sizes, all ages, all shapes, and he's just a very nice person. He runs a really nice, clean gym, and I want to encourage everyone to go there. But today I asked Eric to come on because he is a young man who has started his own business, and I wanted him to talk to my audience because the whole purpose of this program is to empower people. And by bringing you professionals to enlighten you and to tell you from his own experience how he got started, what did he do. He has a bachelor's degree in holistic health and certified as a personal trainer from the National Academy of Sports Medicine and several other educational and business accomplishments. Welcome to the program, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Tell me, how did you get started in this business of healthcare?
I got started probably about somewhere in approximately of about maybe 10 years ago. And I got started because I'm a former athlete. And after I stopped competing in wrestling, I was a USA national wrestler.
And you're right from around this area here, too, aren't you?
I'm from Washington, D.C., and okay. I lived in also Maryland and also Northern Virginia.
Okay.
And after I stopped competing in sports, I always, you know, kept in shape and always worked out. So I went into the personal training field because I found something I really liked to do, and I also realized that it would benefit other people.
Mm-hmm.
So once I got into the personal training field, because I had a background and knowledge of exercise and fitness, a lot of people started approaching me, asking me, well, do you train? Could you train me? Could you get me in shape like you? So at that point, I started to realize that the best thing to do if you are to run your own business is to do something, find something you like, and do it as much as you can. And since I spent so many hours in a gym every day, I just decided to go ahead and turn it into a business.
Okay, okay.
So, and because of that, that's what really promoted me to get into the health and fitness field.
Okay. So you ran some other gyms before you did your own business, is that right?
That is correct. I managed some other gyms, and I also did other programs with other gyms. For example, I designed health and fitness programs, boot camp programs, things of that nature.
And how many years did you do that before starting your own business? Because one of the biggest things that I try to tell people when you're starting your business, try it out on somebody else's dime before you put your money into doing it. So would you suggest that as well?
I would. I would suggest that you you try your own thing before you do. It makes it makes financial sense, and it also gives you the ability to decide whether that's something you really want to do.
Mm-hmm.
It also gives you a chance to get experience and expertise.
Mm-hmm.
So, doing it, if you set out to do something on your own and you don't have the knowledge of doing it, you create a greater chance of failure. If you get into a particular industry and you work with someone else for a period of time first,
mm-hmm.
then you'll learn certain things about yourself, whether you actually can run a business like that. Because I think everybody wants to own their own business, but also, you have to be able to do these things, because there's a lot of things that comes with owning your own business.
Mm-hmm.
So I
mm-hmm.
would suggest that you work for somebody else, and I would suggest that you learn that industry before you actually invest your own time and money into it.
Okay, yeah, because a lot of people think they would like to do something, but then when they get into doing it, they find, you know, I don't really like this, you know. And would you say that's true for anything, whether it's driving a truck or, you know, being a fashion model or running any kind of business?
I would definitely say so. I think that a lot of people have a lot of ideas, but ideas are just what they are, ideas. When there's an old cliche that says you can do anything, and that's true, but it has to be within your scope of expertise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think that people should learn a particular industry before they get into it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you study something for a short period of time, you will obtain knowledge of it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you get into it for a longer period of time, there's a potential that you can become an expert at it.
Mm-hmm.
So I would recommend that anyone who wants to start their own business, that they first study that industry.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's very important.
That's important. Now, there's a difference between knowing the act of, in your instance, like being a personal trainer and so on, and actually running and owning the operation itself. How do you make that transition from knowing what you're doing to running it as a business? How do you recommend people go about that? Because as I recall you saying, you've also managed rental car offices and stuff like that. Were all those kind of things helpful to you?
They were very helpful to me.
How do you mean?
I've been an entrepreneur since probably about 16 years of age.
Did you have a lemonade stand or something, Eric? I can't see you with a lemonade stand, okay?
I didn't own a lemonade stand, but I certainly owned had an auto detailing service.
Oh, really?
I had a lawn care service.
Okay.
I had a cleaning service. I owned a car lot. And I did all of that prior to opening up my first gym. So those little smaller businesses gave me the experience of running a business. And I'm glad that you brought up the question that in terms of transitioning from personal trainer to gym ownership. Not every personal trainer can be a gym owner, because personal training is the science of teaching people how to exercise and take better care of themselves and promote health and fitness and wellness. But now when you put it into a gym or a fitness center structure, you also have to know accounting. You also have to know licensing. You also have to have insurance. You also have to know how to deal with more. You also have to know licensing. You also have to multiple levels of customer service.
Okay.
Billing, there's a lot of things that you, as a personal trainer, you would not do if you own a gym.
If you own a business yourself, right.
Or any business.
Right.
Being a, as they say, being a worker is totally different from being an owner. And turning a wheel is different from the science of turning a wheel.
Okay. And that's the part that I'd like people to understand. And I think you are uniquely, qualified to talk about that. Before I get into the next step, I know very soon we have to take a break. So I kind of would like to take the break now, if that's possible.
Okay.
And then when we come back, I want you to talk to us about the financing and the difficulties you had with that, even though you should have been qualified and so on, because I want people to know about those kind of things too.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to the most powerful voice in talk radio, 1450 WOL, where information is power.
Labor Day weekend, concerts with Maxwell, Morris Day and the Time, Cameo, plus Sunday Inspiration featuring Fred Hammond. It's the All-State Time Toward a Family Reunion. Gala Palms, Kissimmee, a free expo, celebrities, meet and greets, shopping, seminars, performances including 7th Streeter, a water park, tickets to Universal Orlando, fun for all generations. It's a super-sized family reunion. Labor Day weekend. Visit BlackAmericaWeb.com or call 407-248-9191 to book it.
The writer and director of Married But Single, Jacarius Johnson, is back with another hit show. Two Can Play That Game. The movie you love is now a stage play. Two Can Play That Game. The queen of the screen.
Hey, y'all, this is Vivica A. Fox.
Returns as relationship guru Shantae Smith, and she's coming to rewrite the rules of love.
When I was you, all I get is what I thought.
It's the comedy stage play that proves when men start playing around, women will even the score. It's not just the battle of the sexes, it's an all-out war. Jacarius Johnson presents Two Can Play That Game, starring the one and only Vivica A. Fox. From the Starz hit show Survivor's Remorse, Ronrico Lee, comedian and actress Coco Brown, and the bad boy you love from Scandal and Stomp the Yard, Columbus Short. It's Jacarius Johnson's Two Can Play That Game, November 10th through 12th at the Warner Theater. Tickets available at the box office, LiveNation.com, or charge by phone.
Listen Thursdays from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on News Talk 1450 and 95.9 WOL to Living Health Live with hosts Drs. Tom and Stephanie Cheney. Living Health Live is an informative half-hour show focusing on natural health that will help you take control of your life. Topics range from diabetes reversal to alternatives to surgery and painkiller-like stem cell treatment and all aspects of interactive healthcare. We welcome experts in to present the latest in alternative healthcare. Living Health Live is your show for your health. Thursdays from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on News Talk 1450 and 95.9. W-O-L.
You're unique, so why is your mattress one size fits all? Because a custom mattress costs thousands, until now. Hi, I'm Christian von Rickenbach, founder of HelixSleep.com, where you can buy a mattress online, customized for you, for hundreds of dollars instead of thousands. Go to HelixSleep.com, answer a few simple questions, and we build you the most comfortable mattress you'll ever sleep on. Shipping is free, and you have 100 nights to try it out. Go to HelixSleep.com/sleep and get $50 off your order. HelixSleep.com/sleep.
Okay, so, Sarah, I'm dropping you off at Emily's?
Yeah.
And Josh, you're going to?
Soccer, Dad. Soccer practice.
Right. Oh, by the way, I just wanted to let you know when I pick you both up, I'll be wearing my short shorts.
What? No!
Yep, and my dorky dad hat, and I'm going to do my dad dance for all your friends. They'll love it!
Seriously? Why?
Because I like my short shorts. Of course, I could be talked out of it if you guys would just buckle up your seatbelts without giving me a hard time.
It's important to get your kids to buckle up for safety, no matter what it takes. And sometimes, all it takes is your parental powers of persuasion.
Okay, we're buckling up.
See, all buckled.
Good choice. I'll just have to do my dad dance at dinner time.
What? No!
Do what you have to make sure your kids are wearing their seatbelts, even on short drives. Never give up until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. Visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup for more information.
Hi, Mom. Is Claire's birthday party today? Me again, Mom. Where did I put my history book?
Hi. Sorry, forgot one last thing. Sometimes it's hard to concentrate. At school, I start looking out the window, and then I forget what I was supposed to be thinking about. I know it seems like I don't care, but I do. It's just difficult for me. Love you, Mom. Bye.
Join parents and experts at Understood.org, a free online resource about learning and attention issues to help your child thrive. Brought to you by Understood.org and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. You're listening to Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. I'm your host, Attorney Ethel Mitchell. And if you go to lawtalkwithethelmitchell.com, you can see a picture of Mr. Gates, who is my guest. He is on our website, August 26th for today, How to Start a Business with Eric Gates. Also, Attorney George from last week, we have her her program up with the links that we promised to put up on immigration areas. Law Talk is, you know, very, very practical, down-to-earth advice that you can use. So, Eric, thank you very much for coming on, and I want you to talk to us now about some of the details, like in the list of things that we have. We always have pictures around each program, and my producer is wonderful, Ms. Kiana Faircloth, found a great picture that shows some of the things that you have to do to start a business, like choosing a name, getting a business certificate, choosing a location, doing your corporation, getting your business permits, all that kind of stuff. So talk to us about the process that you had to go through when you decided to become the owner as opposed to just an employee of someone else.
Okay. The first thing that I did was I recommended everyone take the time to decide and understand, get a clear understanding of what running a small business entails. Because it's quite different from having a 9-to-5 job. All right, and it's different in the sense that when you have a small business and when you make up your mind that you're going to open up a small business, you are the head of that company, and there is no potentially not many days off, and yep. There's no set time that you will work. Okay, these are not bad things or disencouraging things. These are things that entrepreneurs do. So the first thing I think that people should do when they start their own business is they should first decide that is the path they're going to take. Because once you take that path, you don't want to go back to a job, usually, if you don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So after you make that decision, then I think it's very important to decide where your expertise lies. Can I do this? If not, what will I need to prepare myself to be able to run this business? Because there's a lot of people that I've met, and they don't have the idea, and they have the passion to start their own business, but they don't have the expertise. So they go get the expertise, and then they start their own business.
Okay, what kind of expertise are we talking about here?
Talking about whatever industry that you're in. For example, when I started my fitness business, I already had the expertise because I had been a gym manager and personal trainer for approximately 10, 12 years before starting my own business.
Okay, so you had not only gotten the expertise in how to be a personal trainer, you had then gone on and managed others' gyms.
Yes, I had.
Okay, that makes
I had
a difference.
Managed other gyms, so I had experience at payroll. I had experience at interviewing people, hiring people, letting people go. There's a right and a wrong way to hire people.
Yeah, managing
and,
people.
And also there's certainly a right and a wrong way to let them go.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you deal with customers. In a setting like a fitness center, there's not one client. There's many, many clients. You can have, depending on the size of the gym, you could have as much as 4,000, 5,000 different members.
Wow.
So there's a lot of different personalities, and there's a lot of different levels of customer service that you have to be able to provide in order to deal with that volume of people, that amount of volume of people.
Yeah.
So prior to opening up my own gym, I had experience with that because I had managed other clubs that were, 3,000 to 7,000 members, so as well as about anywhere from 12 to 15 employees.
Wow, that's great. That's great.
So that gave me the expertise in dealing with people on a day-to-day basis in a managerial position, as well as the employees, motivating teams. Also, a big part of the fitness center business is sales. So you have to have a sales team. And you have to be able to prepare this sales team and motivate this sales team to accomplish the numbers that you want them to accomplish.
I see.
So that's another aspect, sales of it. So I was a manager and also a sales manager.
Wow, that's a whole different level of expertise from just being a fitness person, from being a fitness trainer. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. As a fitness trainer, I had a lot less responsibility because my responsibility as a fitness trainer was dealing in one-on-one with my clients or a small group.
Right.
So as long as I maintained, I could produce results with my clients and produce results with the small groups that I trained, that was, the billing system for the personal training was very simple. People would pay for the amount of sessions or the amount of weeks that they were going to be involved in the group, and that was pretty much the accounting part of it. But when you go from that to opening a fitness center, you know, there's so many more things that come into play as opposed to just having an individual or small group.
Right. So when you decide that you're going to open your own, when you decided that you were getting to the point where you wanted to open your own place, how can you kind of walk us through, you know, the transition? I mean, how did you go about figuring out what size it was going to be, where it's going to be, what the name of it was going to be? Can you share some of that? Because going from being an employee, even though you're in a manager, because it sounds like there's an evolution here, you learned it yourself. You learned to be a personal trainer. You developed that basic skill, and then you expanded on it, and then you expanded to managing level, and then you expanded to managing overall, which was not just other fitness trainers, but also payroll and, you know, personnel and all that other stuff, but still for somebody else.
Well, this is how it started for me. And it'll probably go similar. It'll probably be a similar circumstance for other people as well, but it may be a different industry.
Mm-hmm.
But it started, I had been a manager all the way up until 2007. And in 2007, as the year was ending, I decided that if I'm going to stay into the fitness industry,
mm-hmm.
I would have to, as they say, go to the next level. Because I had been a personal trainer. I had been a group exercise person. I had designed programs. So the things that I thought would be lucrative for me going forward was I'm a very good writer. So I was either going to be a fitness writer or I was going to get into the fitness business.
Okay.
So I chose the fitness business. So once I made that choice, then I started to research on. I started to research what size I wanted it to be, you know. And I know, of course, that if you're going to open up a very large facility, you have to look at the amount of square footage that you're going to need, the amount that it's going to cost. So when you put these things, when you start, this helps you get together a financial profile of how your business is going to go. Because, for example, a person may want to open up a very large center, but a very large center is going to, if the square footage is, for example, $20 a square foot, if you have 1,000 square feet, it's going to be $20 per square foot times 1,000 versus $20 per square foot times 1,000 square feet. It's going to be $20 per square foot times 1,000 versus $20 per square foot times 10,000.
Yeah.
So yeah, when you have this vision to open up a location, you also have to think about the financial aspect of it.
All right.
So I thought about the financial aspect as to what I could afford. And when I say what I could afford is when you first start your business, you have to know that probably for about the first 6 months, you have to be able to cover the expenses yourself.
In other words, you got to have that money in the bank.
Yes.
When you open up, and
you need to have 6 months of your expenses in the bank before you open up.
And that's all expenses. Is that, I mean, payroll, rent?
Payroll, rent, electricity, cable, whatever you're going to need to operate your business, you're going to need to have 6 months at least in the bank. And since if you only have 6 months of our, they call it startup capital. So if you only have 6 months of startup capital in reserve, you need to hit the ground running because 6 months is going to come very fast.
Yeah.
And you don't want to find the number one thing that causes failure for small businesses is that they don't have the financial resources to keep going until they can thrive.
Okay.
And when you go into a business, you want to look at different projections, and you want to look at what it makes. You want to do your research.
Okay. When we come back, because we have to take a break.
Okay.
I want you to elaborate on that, please. This is very, very good, and I'm hoping my audience is getting this because this is the kind of nitty gritty that we need to learn about, especially our people who want to start their own businesses. Hold on. We'll be right back after the break. Thank you very much.
You're listening to the most powerful voice in talk radio, 1450 WOL, where information is power.
This is Reverend Al Sharpton on Monday, August 28th, 54 years after Dr. King made a historic speech, I Have a Dream, where he addressed voting rights, jobs, and justice under the law. Join me and 1,000 ministers as we meet at the King Memorial in Washington, D.C., 10 a.m. that morning. And march to the Justice Department as clergy men and clergy women saying, don't be a dream buster. We will not let them turn back the progress made and the dream of this man of God. Go to www.nationalactionnetwork.net or call 1-877-626-4651 to be one of those 1,000 people of faith that will march.
The Utility Discount Program offers qualified, income-eligible D.C. residents significant annual discounts. Now listen closely to your potential savings. Washington Gas, potential savings up to $276. Pepco, potential savings from $300 to $475. Verizon offers qualified customers discounted Lifeline telephone service for $1 or $3 per month. D.C. Water, potential discounts can be over $450. For UDP enrollment details, call 311 or visit doee.dc.gov.
Saturday, September 16th at the New Horizon Christian Faith Church is an evening of worship and praise as New Horizon celebrates Dr. Charlene Monk's 33rd pastoral anniversary with a special concert featuring Luther Barnes and the Sunset Jubilaires. Yes, it's Luther Barnes and the Sunset Jubilaires in concert Saturday, September 16th, 5 p.m. at the New Horizon Christian Faith Church, 7752 Landover Road in Landover, Maryland, and you just have to be there as Luther Barnes comes to sing all his favorites. Donations just $25. Order your seat online today at newhorizoncfc.org or stop by the church office today, Tuesday through Friday, and on Sunday morning,
to get yours. Don't miss Luther Barnes and the Sunset Jubilaires in concert Saturday, September 16th, 5 p.m. at New Horizon. For more information, call 301-772-5496. That's 301-772-5496. Don't miss it.
Cancellation fee may apply, subject to eligibility. Not available in Alaska, Missouri, and Washington. Waiting period and deductible apply. Coverage provided and administered by Warrantech Corporation or its affiliates. Not affiliated with any manufacturer or dealership. Visit tocowarranty.com for complete terms and conditions.
You look stressed.
My car broke down. I just got a quote for the repair. I don't have that kind of money.
You don't have a vehicle service contract from Toco?
What's that?
Well, you know how drivers have auto insurance to protect against accidents? Well, this is a monthly service contract that protects against costly repairs. If it's covered in your policy, they pay. When my transmission and air conditioner broke, the Toco plan paid the whole thing. They dealt with a licensed mechanic, took care of the bill. They even paid for my car rental. And all Toco plans are backed by an AmTrust financial insurance carrier.
It must be expensive.
Not at all. There wasn't even a down payment, and I've already saved hundreds of dollars on repairs, not to mention the stress.
Protect yourself from the expense and stress of unexpected repairs. Call today for your free quote. 800-276-6124. That's 800-276-6124. 800-276-6124.
From your corner of the block
to your corner of the world,
let your voice be heard. WOL, News Talk 1450 AM, 95.9 FM, and worldwide.
WOLDCNews.com.
My name is Jenny Allen, and I'm a mother, a writer, and a performer. I also survived uterine and ovarian cancers. I even wrote a play about
cancer?
That.
Maybe you are just cancer-ish, and it'll pass.
Before cancer, I took my health entirely for granted, like air. But my symptoms, pain in my abdomen, and periods that were heavier and longer than usual for me, related to menopause, I thought. But no, I had cancer. End treatment. If you have symptoms that last 2 weeks or longer, be brave. Go to the doctor. Ask questions. The odds are you don't have cancer. But find out for sure.
Ovarian and uterine cancers are gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everyone.
Now I'm feeling healthy and happy and hopeful. I am so lucky. I got sick, and then I got better.
You're listening to the most powerful voice in talk radio, 1450 WOL, where information is power.
Welcome back. You're listening to Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. I'm your host, Attorney Ethel Mitchell, and we're having a very, very good program with Mr. Eric Gates, the CEO of Fitness Factory DC. He's talking to us about starting your own business. And although I definitely want him to continue, if you have questions, it would be a good time to call in to 1-800-450-7876. You can call in again. That number is 1-800-450-7876. Before we go any further, also, I want to give you the location of his business. He's excellent. 5926 Georgia Avenue, Northwest. Washington, D.C. It's actually right across the street from the Walmart, right at that. It's not at the corner, but right across the street from there, very near the corner of Georgia and Missouri Avenue. His telephone number is 202-723-1063. And if you want to get in shape, definitely I recommend his gym and him as a personal trainer. He is my personal trainer, and he is excellent. I really mean that. And his gym is open to all sizes, all ages, and all people, which is really nice. Everyone there is friendly and very helpful. So, Eric, you were beginning to talk to us about the different steps. Now we're talking now about finances, because that's where a lot of people fail. And you had given us the idea that, you know, at the very least, you need to have at least 6 months' worth of your expenses. Continue with that, please. Yeah. And also, if you don't mind, give people an idea of what expenses are you talking about? Because a lot of people want to start a business and they just kind of have it in their head. What do you recommend? I mean, don't you need to write some of this stuff down?
Absolutely. Before, let me go back to the very beginning. Before you start have to create a business plan. In your business plan, there will be a section for financials. And in this section, you will break the financials down into one part will be startup costs. So you will have to know, for example, what your monthly cost for your location is going to be. You would allocate that times 6 months.
Okay, so that's rent.
That's rent.
Electricity.
Electricity, cable.
Okay.
You're certainly going to need phone and internet.
Okay.
You would have the phone and internet costs. Also, you're going to have a water bill.
It's a physical business, yeah.
If you have a bathroom in there or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And there's also going to be advertising costs. Because to effectively get your business going, especially when you start, you're going to need a constant flow. You're going to need a consistent advertising campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're going to need to develop that. There are many different advertising campaigns that smarter businesses can do. I'll tell you one of them that is very effective is that you send out mailers, and you can do that through the post office.
Okay.
You can create and design your own mailer, and you can pay the post office. They're probably just as cheap as any other marketing company to send out your advertisement.
Okay.
So your financials would be advertising, rent, water, utilities.
Okay.
All utilities. And then you also, if it's a business that requires, if it's not a sole proprietorship, which means that there's one key person operating the business, if there are multiple people in the business, then your employees or your business partner or whoever's involved in the business with you are going to expect a certain income or a certain percentage of the profits.
Right.
So you have to have that in reserve as well, because not very many people are going to work and wait 6 months or a year or 2 years until the business actually starts generating a lot regular income.
Okay.
So you have to be able to sustain all your financial obligations for 6 months or longer.
Until it
gets going. But I use the time frame of 6 months because if you can sustain all your bills for 6 months, the cost to run this business for 6 months, in a 6 month period of time, you should have generated some income to propel you forward to the next 6 months.
Okay. But now, isn't there a big cost also at the very beginning, particularly in your type of business where you need machines, you need equipment, you need,
yes.
You know, there's the cost of that too, isn't there?
There is. Now, the six month cost is considered to be operating costs.
Exactly. Okay.
Okay. Now, part of the startup cost would be whatever equipment you need to run the business. Also, a lot of commercial landlords use a lease that's called a triple net lease.
Mm-hmm.
That is what most of them use nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
And a triple net lease simply means that you're responsible for everything.
Yeah.
So if you sign a lease on a building,
mm-hmm.
they may not build it out for you.
Oh my. You got to put the walls and the
everything
carpet
out.
And the lights and the
most places will probably now when you negotiate build out on a commercial space, they have different terminologies that they use. They have what they can call a cold dark shell.
Wow.
And if you have to build out a cold dark shell, what that simply means is they will just provide you electricity and water to the building.
Wow.
Doesn't necessarily mean that it will be in the building.
Wow.
You would have to go in, get an electrician, and get a plumber to actually bring electricity and water to the building.
Goodness
They're
gracious.
Just telling sign a lease that says it's a cold lit shell, then they're basically telling you there is a water main outside and there's electricity outside. You have to bring it into the building. The other type of thing you will see commonly in commercial leases are called called warm lit shells. Now, warm lit shells mean that there's already doors, there's already windows, there's already electricity and water in the building. but you still have to build it out. For example, my fitness center that I have used to be a laundromat.
Oh, so, that's why the sign is up there, parking for the laundromat only.
Yeah. So, okay. We kind of left it there for history.
Yeah.
Let everybody know what it used to be. But there, when I obtained this place, it was a laundromat. So what I had to do was, and also it's very important you have an attorney or a CPA that know. What I had to do was, knows commercial leases to negotiate this for you.
Yeah.
I would advise anyone that is going to open up a location, do not try and negotiate your own commercial lease.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless you have many years of experience, there are a lot of good real estate attorneys and just business attorneys in general out there that deal with triple net leases and other type of leases every day.
And get somebody that does it, too, because don't come to me. I don't know how to do all of this. I'm telling you right now, you're so right about that. My God, I never knew all of this.
But there are attorneys that specialize in that. And I'll tell you, on another note, Ethel, I've seen people that they get into it, they go out and they find a location and they're really excited about starting their own business and they have a ball of energy ready to go into this place.
Mm-hmm.
And they sign the lease, and then after they sign the lease,
get the lawyer? Oh no.
They try and negotiate their own lease, and then after they sign the lease, they have all these problems with the landlord.
Yeah, yeah.
The landlord says to them, refer to your lease.
Yeah.
And so once they finally take it to an attorney, he says, well, you gotta pay the guy this. You got to pay that.
You got to do that. Yeah, you got to get the lawyer ahead of time. Trust me.
You got to get him ahead
of
time.
Yeah.
So build out is a very important part.
That is a very important part.
And well, so you got to, in your financials, you have to put a certain amount. You have to have a cost set aside for build out.
Okay. We got to take one more break, Eric, and then we're going to be right back. And the time is almost over with, so we may have to have you come back again. But this is really good, practical, down-to-earth information. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Mr. Mark.
1450 WOL, where information is power.
Chateau, Chateau, Chateau Remix. Hi, this is the Moon Man. Remember the good old days at the Chateau? But the Moon Man is back at the Chateau with a brand new show, live in person, The Soul Generation. Also, Van Fields and his Stylistic Review, doing a tribute to the stylistic. This is Van Fields. Also, Lady Mary and Bang, Jim Bitt and his Big Bad Bang. Also introducing Roger Chapman as he introduces brand new CD. What a show, what a show. Advance tickets is $35, more at the door. Tickets on sale at the Chateau Remix and online at eventbrite.com. This week's show takes place at the Chateau Remix, 3439 Benning Road, Northeast Washington, D.C. That's on Saturday night, October the 21st. Doors open at 7 p.m. The show begins at 8. For more information, you can call 443-857-2771. Chateau, Chateau, Chateau Remix. It's going to be a big one.
Eric was way behind on his taxes.
I owed a lot of money to the IRS, almost $15,000. I tried to make payments.
The IRS wasn't satisfied with Eric's efforts, so they came after him full force.
They're coming to put a lien and a hold on all my income, my home, my car. I was just overwhelmed at what to do.
Then Eric called Optima Tax Relief.
When Optima Tax got involved, the calls would stop, the threats would stop. It was easy, like, 1, 2, 3.
Optima Tax Relief is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, and their team of expert tax professionals took care of Eric's problem.
I owe $15,000, and now my debt is clean. I don't owe anything.
Take Eric's advice.
If you have a tax problem, you need to call Optima Tax now.
Call Optima Tax Relief for a free consultation. Call 800-749-8188. 800-749-8188. 800-749-8188.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Are you addicted to drugs or alcohol? Even if you think you might have a problem, call this number right now for free information. 800-610-4417. That's 800-610-4417. By calling the Addiction Rehab Specialist, you're taking the first steps to recovery. Their advisors are ready to match you with a proven five-star facility right now. A call is free and the information is free. 800-610-4417. The federal government says you can have up to 90 days off work for treatment. And if you have insurance through your employer, it could mean little to no cost to you. This free call is completely confidential. Seriously, pick up the phone and call us now. Our advisors are standing by. 800-610-4417. 800-610-4417. That's 800-610-4417. 800-610-4417. Addiction Rehab Specialists is a network of independent treatment centers and placement services nationwide.
This is WOL News Talk 1450 AM and 95.9 FM.
959.
You're listening to the most powerful voice in talk radio, 1450 WOL, where information is power.
You're listening to Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell, and we have as our guest Mr. Eric Gates. He is the CEO of Fitness Factory DC. I asked him to come on to talk to us about how to open a business, how to start a business, what are all the practical, legal and financial steps that you have to go through. And we've already gotten to the last part of the program, so Eric, I think I'm going to have you come back. But I do want you to share, if you don't mind, your experience on the finance piece with your business and what you had to do to make this your dream become a reality.
Okay, what I had to do to make when I first made the decision to open up my own fitness center. I went to several banks. I went the traditional route, and my credit was very good at that time, and still is. And I had
like a 700 score. So I want people to know that you had really good credit.
I had, at the time that I went to talk to banks about a loan to start my fitness center, my credit score was about a 745.
Yep. Can't get much better than that.
So it was considered top in the top tier, because mm-hmm. I think the highest credit that really matters is probably like an 800 or 8.
Right.
You don't really need that to get a loan.
Mm-hmm.
So I had good credit, and I also had I had more than a year of what it was going to cost to operate my business mm-hmm. in reserve.
Okay.
So I went to several banks. I think it's okay to say their name because they turned me down. And I went to Capital One. They turned me down. I went to TD Bank. They turned me down.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to, I believe it was Wachovia Bank, and they turned me down.
Mm-hmm.
And so after my last meeting with a loan
officer.
And
you had your business plan and everything like you're supposed to have?
I was all set to go. I had my business plan. I had my credit score. I had money to invest, because it's very important for everybody to know that whether you have what they call financial institution investors, which are banks or credit unions or something like that, or you have what they call angel investors, which are people who are not banks, but they like your idea and want to invest in it.
Mm-hmm.
You have people
mm-hmm.
like that as well. So regardless of what type of institution or person that finances your event, help you finance your venture, you have to realize that people don't invest in dreams.
Right.
People
right.
invest in businesses. So you have, before you go for to apply to any institution or anyone for financial help, you have to be ready.
Yes.
So you have to have a good credit score. You have to have some money to invest yourself.
Yes. Yeah, you got to put some skin in the game. You got to put some skin, your own skin in the game.
Own skin in the game.
Yeah.
You also have to have the expertise. Because if you, you know, if someone came to you and said, listen, I want to open up a trucking company, mm-hmm. and they've never even driven a truck.
Yeah.
There's a high failure rate.
Okay.
So you're not going to get very many people to or institutions to invest in that.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be startup ready, I call it.
Yes, yes, yes.
So I was startup ready, and I went to these banks, and I went to different meetings with them in reference to, getting a loan.
Uh-huh.
And they all turned me down. So mm-hmm. after they turned me down, I went back to where I had my business plan. I was not going to deviate from it. I was very sure and certain that I was going to open this business. So I went back to work, and I worked, and I saved about 65% of my income.
Very good. You were determined.
Very determined.
Yeah.
To invest into my own venture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, not everybody can do that. So
yeah.
There are other ways that you can give financial help.
Mm-hmm.
For one, in just about every city or county, they have a small local business development corporation. They have, that funds and helps small businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So what you want to do is you would want to contact your local city government and ask them what organizations do they have for startup businesses.
Okay.
That will help with grants. Grants
uh-huh.
is a great way to get started. Help with buying your equipment and help with some of the cost of build-out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
City grants. And then there's nonprofits out there that they are in the same industry or they appreciate certain industries. Like, for example, there's nonprofits that are health and fitness related.
Mm-hmm.
So if I was going to seek funding from a nonprofit, I wouldn't seek funding from a nonprofit who sells auto tires.
I would seek
help from one that does fitness centers.
Right.
Or
right.
is in a health fitness field. So one way is a nonprofit. The other way is to get your business plan together, get all your costs together, and work and save money to open up a business. The next thing that you can do is, if you own a property and you're sure that you're sure of yourself that this business is going to work, you could very well take a second mortgage out on your property. You
mm-hmm.
can use that money to start your business.
Start your business, yeah.
And then
yeah.
you can pay it back as fast as you can. I reckon.
Yeah, that's you got to be really sure about that. Well, Eric, we're only at about 2 or 3 more minutes, so I'm going to have you come back, definitely, because
okay.
you're giving us some really good, practical, down-to-earth information that I know a lot of people are listening to. I really like that you went back to work and saved your own money. I really do, because bottom line, you were determined to do this, and you made it happen.
Ethel, before we go, I'd like to do a little recap of for all the listeners so they can, bring it to a shorter form. It won't take that long.
Okay, we only got 2 minutes.
Okay. The first step is to starting a successful business is that you create your concept, and you create a concept that you can sell to a certain market. The second thing is that you spend at least 3 hours a day researching the industry that you want to be in. And it doesn't matter if you have experience in that, because turning a wheel is different from the science of turning a wheel. Next, I think that you should create a concept and identify your target market.
Mm-hmm.
That's very important.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing you would need to do is create a name that reflects your business mission.
Mm-hmm.
And don't make it too long or catchy, but make it so that it reflects your business mission. Find a location, and one that's preferably metro accessible. And when you go to sign a lease on your first location, have a qualified attorney review the lease.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good advice. That's really good advice. Thank you very much, Eric. Thank you very much. I really would like you to come back so we can continue the conversation. I think what you've told my audience is useful, practical, down-to-earth information that everybody can use. I know there are a lot of people out there that want to start a business. So I want to thank you for coming on Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. I want to encourage people to go to his establishment. It really is nice. It's the Fitness Factory DC. That's their website, thefitnessfactorydc.com, right across from Walmart at the corner of Missouri and Georgia Avenue. Thank you very much. And I will have you back on, Eric. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.